We want to take a few moments just to remember those who are feeling the sadness at this time. For many, Christmas has not been a very happy time. And we think especially of the family of Mrs. Kathleen McCauley and Mr. David Kearney this morning. So let's just take a few moments to come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You defeated, O God, in Christ, your Son, all that we fear. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear anything. For the Lord is with me, Lord. Our Father, that doesn't mean that we don't shed tears. And Christ, your Son, shed tears. As he stood with Martha and Mary, he wept. You feel for us in everything that we go through, Lord. And this morning, our Father, we think especially of two members of this congregation and especially their families. And we pray that you will be with Mrs. Kathleen McCauley's family and Mr. David Kearney's loved ones. That around them and about them will be the everlasting arms of a great and loving God. We pray that you will be much with Philip as he conducts the funeral this afternoon, Lord. And our God, that he will bring comfort to those who feel so sad, Lord. We commit them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And our Father, as we just bow in prayer this morning, we do remember those who are ill at this time, those who are anxious and afraid, worried. Lord, draw near to each of them. Draw near to each of them, Lord. You never leave us nor ever forsake us. You are with us in everything that we go through, Lord. You are a great God. Help us, our God. Help us to have a faith that stands on the solid rock, Lord, which is Jesus, not the shifting sands of the world. Give us a faith, Lord, that will indeed endure anything because of a love in our hearts. A realization that the one who made this universe and all that is in it and holds it in the palms of his hand, regardless, O Lord, of what we see all around us, it is almost to the contrary. But our God, you are the God who loves us. You are the God who has given us another year. And whatever we face in the days that lie ahead, Lord, may we have the certainty that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, neither life nor death nor anything in all creation. Because you are El Shaddai. You are the Lord. So bless us, Lord, this morning. Come to each of us gathered here in this church and help us, O Lord, to live lives that are worthy of the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Now, I'm not going up to the pulpit because there's no one up in the gallery, Desi, so I hope that's okay with you. I'd rather just be closer to you this morning and share God's word. Well, what now? What now? This time last Sunday, you were celebrating Christmas. You were receiving and giving presents. You were stuffing yourself with a turkey. You were entertaining the family. And maybe you fell asleep during the Queen's speech. You had a great time. We certainly had. And I must say, yes, I did fall asleep in the afternoon. We were down in Craigavon with our daughter, Lachlan. He's the minister in Craigavon. So we went down there for the day. And I had a sleep in the afternoon. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands how many the rest of you had a sleep. Well, I did fall asleep after the turkey, I have to say that. We had a great time. But Christmas is over. It's the beginning of another year. So what now? What now? I wonder what Joseph and Mary felt after the visit of the wise men, the last in a long line of exciting events involving angels, heavenly choirs, shepherds, a special star in the sky, visits, gifts. I wonder, was it all an anticlimax? The baby Jesus was born, just as promised, a new king born today, so surely, surely, at long last, God is going to put things right in the world. But what's going on? Suddenly things are not going right. Herod is angry. Herod the king is angry. There's a disturbance in the palace and in Jerusalem over the birth of a potential rival. And Matthew records it for us. And Joseph gets a message from God, an angelic intervention, and he's told, get up and take the child Jesus and go to Egypt. Jesus' life is threatened. And so the young family flee with their small child to Egypt to live as refugees, lying low until it's safe to return. And after Herod died, we read, an angel appeared to God, or to Joseph, and said to him, now you can go back, and you're to go back to Israel. And you know, like Joseph and Mary, maybe we have difficulty understanding this event. It seems that the God who can move stars is incapable against the threat of Herod. And Herod was pretty angry. In fact, he was pretty violent. He's unaware of the angel's intervention, and indeed he's unaware of the angel's warning, and he puts into effect a crude but seemingly foolproof plan. He's going to massacre every baby boy under the age of 2 years. The evilness of man. But are we not witnessing that in our world at the moment? I read yesterday in one of the papers about what's going on in Mosul in Iraq and what the ISIS have been up to. Friends, it doesn't seem to be any different, does it? Here many children are killed in his attempt, and we read, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Friends, many children were killed in his attempt to remove the threat of power. Well, it doesn't seem that Herod lasted very long after that event, and very soon he seems to have died, and his death made possible the return from Egypt of Mary and Joseph, a second exodus. And yet, even when they get back to their own country, God sends them to live in an obscure province, Galilee. Galilee. That was a place despised by the Jerusalem-based Jewish leaders. And yet, all of this was in keeping with the Old Testament, entirely in accordance with Scripture and with the prophets who had foretold what was to happen, like Hosea, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And Jesus, through his association with this backward province, became known as the man from Nazareth. And Matthew outlines and tells us the whole story, and his purpose in recording these words is to show that the birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of divine promise and human hope. linking with God's long-term plan of salvation for you and for me. Now, that's the story of Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. But what is the application for you and I this morning? What does this mean to you and I as we read this story of how Jesus was taken to Egypt by his mom and dad? Immediately after he's born, he's already under death threat. And how they weren't able to come back to their own town, as it were, back to their own province, but had to go and live in Galilee, in Nazareth. So what is the application to you and me? Well, in a simple phrase, it is God is with us. God is with us. And what a word for the first day and the first Sunday of a new year, to know that our God is with us. But maybe we say, but we've heard all that before, haven't we? We've heard all that before. Well, for us, things sometimes don't go right. Our new car gets banged at the back at the traffic lights. Our new outfit gets spoiled. It's time to go back to school after a long, lovely holiday. One of our Christmas presents gets broken, and yet sometimes even more. We face major problems such as illness, job loss. And for those families that we've already prayed for, the sadness, despair, anxiety. Yes, we live in a very dangerous world, in a very violent world. And yet God sent his Son to live here with us. He came and he dwelt with us. And God's followers are just as likely as anybody else to meet difficulties and troubles. And for him, Jesus, as for us, things went wrong, badly wrong. And he ended his life on a cross. So what does God want us to know about difficult times? What does God want us to know about difficult times? Well, sometimes we say, well, it's not my fault this is happening to me. Well, it was not the fault of Joseph, Mary, or Jesus that they ended up in danger. And it's not always our fault when things go wrong for us, but like Joseph and Mary, we can trust that God is working for our good in the difficult times, because we can be sure that God is there right with us. Now, that's faith. Or indeed, we say we live in an imperfect world. Yes, we do. Well, God didn't remove the danger Jesus was in. Now, couldn't he have removed Herod from the scene? Yes, he could. Yes, he could, but he didn't. And in this world, evil has serious consequences, which God doesn't simply magic away, even for those who love and follow the Lord Jesus. Friends, we all have to live for the uncomfortable fact that the world that we live in, although good and wonderful in many ways, is far from perfect. So what are we to do? Well, let me take you back to Matthew chapter 2. God helped Joseph take care of his family, despite the danger they were in. Joseph followed God's leading, and he and his family were safe in Egypt. Now, I'm sure that was the last place that Joseph and Mary wanted to go to. They had already traveled to Bethlehem. And who knows what life was like in Egypt as refugees. And when you and I find ourselves in dangerous and frightening situations, well, we can turn to God in confidence, because he knows how it feels, and he will help us to find a way through it. So what are we to do? Well, friends, I want to suggest we need to trust in the face of change. Verses 13 to 15, get up and go to Egypt, God said to Joseph. And yes, we often dislike change, especially when it's unexpected. We like to feel in control, but if we are in the driving seat, then it means God is not. Well, Joseph trusted. not because he knew why he had to go to Egypt, but because he knew who was in control. The God who fulfills promises, the faithful one. The God who moves stars, the all-powerful one. The God who sent the Messiah, the loving one. The God who speaks, the guiding one. And how we need that understanding of God so that we can fully trust him in the changing days that lie before us and the circumstances of our lives. A man called Gary Mays says, and he writes, "Trusting God because a desirable outcome is probable is not trusting him at all. It is trusting in probabilities." Oh, how we need to trust in the face of change, but also we need to trust in the face of pain. Can we begin to imagine what it must have been like when Herod was sent his soldiers to kill every little boy under the age of 2? Can we even begin to imagine what is happening in Iraq and Iran, in Aleppo or Mosul? Oh, how we need to trust in the face of pain. The Christian life was never meant to be pain-free. The health and wealth gospel that sometimes we can see on our televisions, God prospers those who trust him, that's simply a lie. Jesus came so that God could share in our pain. And the only way to cope with pain is to realize that we are not going through it on our own. God is in it with us. He feels it with us. It's an evil thing, an intruder into his good world, and he will support us through it. Joni, do you remember after she had that awful accident and a diving accident? And she often says these words, "Because of Christ, this wheelchair has become the prison that has set me free." My friends, that's faith. I wonder how many of us could say that in the midst of our sorrow and our pain and our difficulties. Or the story of Job, lost everything. His wife was so distraught that she told him one day, "I want you really to trust, to curse God and get on with your life." And he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives." Well, the life and death of Jesus, surely that demonstrates supremely the suffering and pain need not destroy us. Terry Waite writes these words, "In my own life, I've had to face a limited amount of suffering." Remember, he was in prison. "I have always refused to blame God. Rather, I have recognized that whether I like it or not, suffering is part and parcel of this world and of my life, and will remain so until the end of all things. Suffering is never easy. It is bitter and painful, and I can testify to that. However, I can truly say that in some strange way, it has drawn me closer to the mystery that lies at the heart of faith." Friends, we need to trust in the face of change. We need to trust in the face of pain. And we need to trust in the face of confusion. 19, verses 19 to 23. I'm sure Joseph and Mary were delighted when they heard that Herod had died. When they realized that he had died, "Well, an angel said to them, 'Get up and take the child and go back to Israel.'" We're on our way home. We're going back. That was short-lived. And then they heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father. He was more ruthless than his father. And being warned, they withdrew to the district of Galilee, to a place called Nazareth. But it was all in keeping with the fulfillment of Scripture. Oh, friends, frequent guidance from God seems confusing at times, doesn't it? I'll give you manna, he said, from heaven. That was his people in the wandering. But only enough for today. God never seems to direct quite in the way we would like him to. I wonder why. Is it to teach us dependency? Oh yes, we're to pray for our daily bread. But not for our annual loaf. And by only giving us enough light for the next step, it means that we never go too far from his presence. R.T. Kendall, in one of his books, writes, God never leads us from A to Z, but always from A to B, B to C, C to D, D to E, E to F, right to the end of the journey. Friends, let's keep on trusting him. Let's keep on trusting him, step by step. Oh yes, we enter a new year. Let's remember the good news of Christmas. But it's for every day. God is with you and me. And even when we face difficult times, we can trust God to show us the way. He will be there with us. Joseph and Mary, it didn't take long before Matthew recorded that Bethlehem and Christmas was over. And they were out to get him. Friends, no matter how hard life is, let's keep on trusting him. And this morning I invite you to come and sit around this table. And as we eat the bread and as we drink the wine, may they remind us on this first day, this first Sunday of a new year, the year 2017, let them remind us just how clearly and how much God is with us. His eternal love for us is unchanging. His Son's body was broken for us. His Son's blood was shed for us. Because while you and I were still sinners in our rebellion, Christ died for us. Such love. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us, and if God is for us, who can stand against us? Emmanuel. What now? A whole new year lies before us. We take it day by day, step by step. And we trust the one who was born in Bethlehem and who died on Calvary, whose body was broken and whose blood was shed, because God so loved and God still loves and God will always love you and me. Praise his wonderful name. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, yes, we say to ourselves, what now? What lies before us? Oh Lord, let's just stop there. Let's take today. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us so much. And thank you, O Lord, that you can give us a faith that's strong. And so may we trust you for everything, no matter what we face. Because you will never leave us, Lord, nor will you ever forsake us. Praise to your name. Amen. As we come to that table, let us sing together, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. Let's praise God.